Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Hell yeah.
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yep.
Man, we got a better than hopeful realized victory to recap for you over the Phoenix Suns.
That was a good quality win.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great road win, I would say. Like at home, fine win on the road, solid win.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I'll take that any day. We're gonna be talking about what we liked from that one. Really great performance, just pretty much top to bottom.
Yeah, a couple of skids here and there, but nothing that they didn't overcome, which I think was the biggest thing.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about what we didn't like as well with that one. Mostly just Ayton crushing us.
Yeah, he was good.
And overall how we're feeling, and then it's Hot Take Thursday.
Yep.
Every single Wednesday or Thursday, go ahead and give us a hot take.
Yeah, you can leave that at 213-986-7354. We play them on Thursdays, so I apologize if you make it about a game that's on a Saturday or a Friday. It's probably not going to make the show. But anyway.
Anyways, we'd love to feature hot take on the show. We have kind of a lukewarm take.
And we got a lukewarm take, and then we have a good take.
But appreciate all of those so much. And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. Music to my ears. Jerome Robinson game winner.
Oh, yeah.
I got to talk that. I'm going to talk about people's reactions to the regular season and how do you think they're going to hold up in the playoffs?
I think they're going to be okay, maybe.
All right. All that more coming up right about now.
So the Clippers traveled to Talking Stick Arena in Phoenix, Arizona, mm-hmm. and took down the Suns 102-92, a low-scoring game.
You called it, man.
Called it was going to be low-scoring. I think it was a push. If you would have taken our 10-point line, it was a push. So sorry we couldn't do anything for you there. Oubre didn't play in this one, so that very vaunted lineup we talked about was moot.
It was moot.
But this was a good win.
This was a quality win. Yeah, it was great to see Kawhi ramped up on both Ooh. Sides.
Dude, he locked Booker up.
Yeah, I rewatched a little bit of those some of those defensive possessions. It was great to see, man. Just high effort all the way through.
The whole team. Like, the first quarter was a little rough in this game. The game did not start out well. There was kind of like, oh, no, not again vibe. Like, we're going to get one of these losses type thing. But after that, everyone just tightened up. And it was like, all right, let's get into this.
It was the most cohesive that the additions have looked post the trade deadline.
Yeah, together. It was their best. It was the best new guy game.
Yeah. Which, we talked about this gelling period just yesterday, and it's already come together a little bit quicker than...
Yeah, it looks like they played for... I mean, it's like the additions that we made last year. It's weird that we get these guys who can look like they've played for a minute on the team.
Totally.
All right, let's get into what we liked. I mean, we talked about quite a little bit, but offensively, we had 23, 14 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals... He did superstar stuff like all game.
Yeah, it was it was incredible. Like I hinted at earlier, just seeing him ramp up on both ends of the floor and just, I don't know, really
impart
be able,
his will.
Yeah, just really be able to take over games and get to next level.
He got an absurd offensive board late off a missed free throw, and then he got a steal and then drew a foul on Ayton in the same play.
Yeah.
Late we were up like 8-10 consistently pretty late in this game, but it never felt like there wasn't an exclamation point on this win, but that's fine because we grinded it out.
Yeah.
Ish. He guarded Booker.
The exclamation point came very late.
Yeah. It was from Marcus Morris.
I would say it was that Morris shot. Yeah.
He guarded Booker for the most part. Devin Booker ended with just 14 points.
Home Booker to under 20 is, that's a good night.
You're probably going to win the game.
That's a good night.
You're probably going to win the game. What else did we like in this game?
I got to be honest, I'm really liking Reggie Jackson's game.
Dude, it was his best game as a Clipper. Like, he crushed.
He contributed 12-2-1. He just looks great filling in that role as a second option on the second unit.
Main ball handler, second, maybe third offensive option.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The assistant to the secondary manager.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just a really solid game. He was one of four players. This just ties into another like that I had.
Keep going.
On the Clipper squad that shot 50% or better from three, all on four or more attempts. You had Marcus Morris going 4 of 8. Beverly, who shot, I think, 3 of 5. He shot 60%. Reggie Jackson, as I said. And Landry Shamet. Just great shooting from outside with those guys providing that sort of space. I just struggle to see how you're going to slow this team down offensively. There's just too many options.
There's way too many options.
Too many options.
You mentioned Patrick Beverly. He was 3 of 5 from three. He did so much. And we're going to talk about it in the next segment because there was a take or kind of like just a suggestion about how important Patrick Beverly is to this team. The Pat Bev moment of the game. Not every game has a Pat Bev moment, but when they happen, they're usually turning points and good reasons for the Clippers. The Pat Bev moment of the game was he took a charge. There was 8 minutes left in the third, and the Suns were in the middle of a run, and he took a charge, and it just threw them off enough. It was against Booker, too. It just threw the Suns off enough to where the Clippers could, like, take advantage of it.
That's just what he does.
It was so good.
That's just what he does.
And then we talked about Marcus. You just mentioned Marcus Morris, too. He had a dagger three to seal this one.
Yeah.
He looked great this game. He did a little bit of everything. He threw an oop to Zubats, which we, any oop to Zoo is fantastic. But when it's a new guy throwing it, it's even better.
We had some questions, or I guess it was just me, really, that had some questions about...
Thousands of people.
About the fit. Between George and Morris, sort of how that was going to work out, just in terms of shots as well as chemistry on the floor. You had them both taking about the same amount of attempts, really.
Morris
took
two more threes, which is interesting.
Yeah, Morris with one more attempt overall and two more attempts from three. But there was a nice feed from Paul George taking an unselfish run at basket. Two Morris, who ended up getting fouled on the play, got to the line. It was great to see.
That was in that middle of the stretch in like the second and third when the Clippers, it was like, oh man, like this is what it can be like.
Totally, totally. So that it just kind of, I mean, we also talked about like alleviating some of the like chemistry issues, I guess, yesterday. But
yeah,
this was a nice win for that.
Yeah, for the fit.
Yes. So what didn't we like about this?
Really, it was just kind of the start and finish to this game.
Yeah.
That was it. We started out looking kind of like a team that had just added a couple new pieces, one of which on the starting lineup. And then we ended on a super cold streak in the fourth.
Definitely, definitely.
Like, we went ice cold late in the fourth, kind of until that three from Morris.
Yeah,
we were still up 10, but like it was one of, like I said, it was one of those tens where it was like, this is 10, but
they chipped away a 16
pretty
point
thin
lead.
Dime.
Yeah, they chipped away a 16 point lead into a 7 point lead, with plenty of time left in the fourth. They went
with Devin Booker on the court. It's like, you know,
yeah, they ended up going on a 14-2 run, or maybe it was a, maybe
like
it was 14, only a 12-2 run.
I think it was 14-5, something like that.
But we were able to pull it out.
We bounced back in the second. So like seeing that resiliency of like, all right, we're not getting down, we're continuing. Bev and Zoo both had two fouls on the first.
Yeah,
which I was like, oh no.
The Zoo ones were super quick, and then he didn't end up fouling again for the rest of the game.
Damn straight.
He
played in the fourth.
Even playing in the fourth and having, played 20 minutes,
He played literally, I think he played exactly 20 minutes.
20 minutes, 1 second.
Oh, excuse
so,
me.
According to stats on NBA.
That kind of ties
according
in.
According to my personal time watch, it was only 20.
That ties into Trez had a bit of a rough game.
Yeah.
But I don't blame Trez. He had 8 points, 4 turnovers, did have 6 boards and 2 steals.
I mean, the 2 steals is solid.
Doc kind of alluded to him being tired pregame, like in terms because he played so much in that game against the Jazz.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
Wonder who's responsible for that against the Grizz.
Grizz. And it just seemed that way.
Yeah.
Like he seemed tired, but it was nice that Doc put Zoo in the fourth. Like, yeah. That was great.
Yeah, and we also saw a stretch of kind of a different lineup with both Jamichael and Morris in the front court.
Yeah. Well, it was Lou.
It was Lou, George, Kawhi, Green, Morris at one point.
Doc was throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what stuck.
In talking stick arena.
Oh, damn, dude. Wow. Glad you're back, man.
I mean, he had a rough game.
It's going to happen. He needs rest.
It's going to happen. He's gonna need rest. I do hope that this like can maybe continue a trend or maybe continue or just start a dialogue, a conversation about, you know, maybe him getting a little bit of rest some point in the second half of the game. Who knows?
Well, because also you wrote this down. Ayton, you know, did his thing.
Yes, we did not really have an answer to Ayton, who led the Suns in points, rebounds, and blocks. He finished with 25, 17, and 3 blocks.
He is very good at basketball.
He is, and it's one of those things.
Against anybody, this isn't, yeah.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they did end up narrowly beating us in points in the paint. It's one of those things, though, where I think that it would be a little bit easy to pile on to the popular complaint of, like, we need another center.
Yeah.
But really, I think it's more just a matter of you can't. I don't think you're stopping five, like, all five dudes on the court at any given time.
Yeah, for sure. It's a team effort, too, for, like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and he's also fantastic.
He is also fantastic.
And then one last thing in here that you didn't like.
Why a missed dunk?
That missed dunk. Dude, that would have been play of the game. That would have been great.
He also did not shoot well from three. Only 16% on 6 attempts. If I
was a betting man, I would guess he was 1 of 6.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That's correct. Good work, Charles.
I'm smart.
He got 9 of his 24 points at the line tonight. Still getting it done. Still doing just Kawhi things.
Yeah, it's a good win.
Do you think he was getting a little tired in this one?
I don't know.
From having his shoulder such a heavy load on both sides? Or
I don't know. I think there's that thing where after you go on a long break of something and then you come back to like your job or whatever, it's nice the first couple days, and then that third day you're like, oh. You kind of stumble.
Yeah.
I think this was kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, overall, still a great game from him. So.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the win as a whole?
Like I said, it's a quality road win, man.
Yeah. We'll take it.
You know, nothing really shocking about it. I do really like, I feel alleviated. Some of my fit issues do feel a little bit alleviated. It was nice to see everything just kind of fitting in.
Yeah, I feel confident going to the game on Friday. I'm really excited. I hope we see this momentum carry over from the tight play and the rotations looking good on defense. That's really what I'm looking for in these really, you know, tough games we have coming up. We got the Nuggets and we got the 76ers, which is going to be a little easier given their injuries now, but I just want to see it carry over.
I'm feeling kind of like a Bape hoodie circa 2006, just zipped all the way to the top. Camouflage, everything's gelled right in.
Everything's gelled right in. So it's a moment in time is also what it is. You're holding on to a moment in time. Coming up after this, we have Hot Take Thursday, which is one fairly hot take and then one kind of just
take,
I guess. But Will, what can I do this summer for fun?
Okay, so what you got to do is follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Speaking of preseason, I believe that the Astros already have more batters hit than they have played games, which is a great stat.
That's what happens when you cheat.
So if you want to catch up with that, you should head to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. They've got amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans.
Yes.
Follow your favorite teams, maybe even the Astros, to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures with all 10 stadiums in greater Phoenix. That's within 50 miles of where you are.
Hell yeah.
You can meet the players, get autographs before games, check out amazing restaurants, as I said, and bars nearby. They got tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists and explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered.
Awesome.
You can check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining.
All right. Welcome to Hot Take Thursday.
It's hot.
You know where it's hot, but also comfortable.
Arizona.
As we said off top, you can leave your hot takes at 213-986-7354. We play them. We talk about them. We're not going to freeze and cold take you either.
No, I promise.
Unless you have something truly crazy. But this first one is a take from Gerald and Jeremy, I believe.
Uh-huh.
They're talking Pat Beverly.
Also, glad to hear from Secaucus.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Secaucus.
Hey, this is Gerald and Jeremy. We're from Secaucus, and we want to give our hot take for you guys. So we want to talk about Beverly's impact on the court. I mean, he's been injured for a while, Gerald.
Yeah, you know, but I always see his impact. You know, it's like he come up. His stats don't show it, but, like, defense, he keep talking to everybody, tell him exactly where to go. Like, he's just a straight dog, man, on the court.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what Beverly is. I mean, Marcus Morris is the same type of player. And also, Beverly missed a couple of games, and you see the impact. We're 7-9 without him, 31-10 with him. So you see impact on and off the floor. Gerald, do you have anything else to say before we finish this take? All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Secaucus, one more time. This is fair. Beverly is now, Chenny John was tweeting about it. Uh-huh. Beverly is now fully in, he's the second most important Clipper.
Yes.
And not just from mainstream basketball fans. I feel like they think of Bev as like energy guy on defense, makes hustle plays.
Totally.
Which is true, but that's also completely neglecting the part of his game that's a highly skilled offensive play.
Yeah, 100%. Even pardon me for not knowing off the top of my head, the Suns commentators were talking about how he, like, they're like, you know, you would think that he's the weak link offensively.
Yeah, in the starting lineup, and it's like, no, man. Nah. Shooting over 40% from three since Christmas.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
He's a elite rebounder for a guard.
Yeah. It's insane how much we miss that rebounding too.
Yeah, he's firmly the second most important Clipper, and when Kawhi is out, he's the most important Clipper.
Yeah, definitely.
We just need his stability, and it's all the intangible stuff too.
It's definitely the intangible stuff. I mean, a guy like that sets the tone, and I know this is like said about Patrick Beverly all the time, but like, it's so important the effect that that has on your teammates. Like,
yeah.
It's like when
he gave Zoo like this like really aggressive push, like a friendly push after he made a good play today. And it's like, yeah, those are things that you're on the road. You like getting that big energy play from your defensive anchor.
Yeah, totally. And that's the kind of stuff that I think keeps you going. I mean, like, it's a long season, man. I think getting a Pat Beverly
shove
of encouragement. I mean, that's something that'll coast you through at least a game.
Yeah, that'll definitely wake you up, I feel like, for sure. I like what he said after he got the contract. He talked about, like, I want to show this city that I'm worth this contract. That I'm like, and he absolutely is. I don't think anyone doubted that he was going to be.
Yeah.
That was a move that no one was like, wow, I can't believe we gave Bev this contract. He's absolutely shown that he's worth every single penny of it.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just a kid from Chicago.
Just a kid from Chicago. Averaging the second highest assist numbers of his career. Highest is 4.2 right now. He's at 3.9. So he's close to a career high in assists.
Interesting. Are we surprised? Would you expect that number to be higher with him handling point duties or about what you expected?
I would expect it to be higher. But the ball movement for the Clippers is so different in terms of like what they're kind of trying to do. Like Doc's talked about it. He like doesn't necessarily want one guy to have a bunch of assists.
Yeah, totally. And just with all the all the point forwardy options that you have.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Wings who can do their thing with the ball.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call from Sakakis. Next, we have a take from Chris Murch. Shout out Chris Murch. He's a Clippers blogger. He has a little idea about the roster.
What's up, guys? This is Chris Murch, Locked On Clippers podcast, maybe fifth best Clipper blogger on the web. That hasn't been confirmed, but I'm just assuming anyway. When are the Clippers going to nut up and get Joakim Noah? And if not Joakim Noah, when are they going to get the backup big for size in the playoffs to guard a guy like Gobert, to guard a guy like AD, and then potentially crowd the paint against Giannis in the finals or whomever we play? Need to get a little bit bigger. That's just my opinion. Peace.
Okay, big to stop Giannis. I think if it's specifically to stop Giannis, I'm with his take more. Because Giannis is terrifying. He's so good.
This take makes a lot of sense looking at the playoffs.
Yeah.
While they're not as prevalent in the West, any team that we play from the East will have like a dominant big.
Yeah.
And
there's one. There's a couple in the West that we're going to play on the way there too.
Yeah.
Which is difficult.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
No. It definitely is something like deeper in the playoffs will become more important. I think, and I don't want me to sound alarmist or anything, but like the cavalry is not coming. Like
they're not pulling the trigger on a move.
Nah, if it hasn't happened at this point, just given all the issues and like how much we've talked about continuity so far this season, I would be really surprised if, unless barring an injury or like a strange circumstance. I'd be pretty surprised if we brought some money in. What about you? What do you think the likelihood is of something like this?
Pretty low. I mean, I agree. I don't know why I said it so shocked. I agree too. I think it's pretty low.
I'm not opposed
to it. Doc was
kind of
getting. No, I'm not either. Doc was kind of getting weird with the lineups today, which is cool. So like, I think Doc is now and firmly like, yeah, let's try some weird stuff with the five. So that's going to be where it gets alleviated, I guess.
We just had success.
Or I'd like us to see Rest Trez a lot more.
He had success last year, and I know I'm never supposed to talk about last year, but
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We had success last year going smaller, and obviously this is a different team, different skill sets, but I would still be pretty surprised if we didn't shift things a little bit smaller in the playoffs, actually.
Yeah, I think and like I said, we might run into Houston.
Yeah.
Who's playing really well right now with their new tiny system. Chris mentioned Noah. I think the injury concerns are why he's not on a team.
Yeah, yeah.
Big guy Achilles. It's not good. There was a very small section of people saying we should sign DeMarcus.
Oh, because he's officially waived. Yeah.
He's hanging out with the team or whatever. He's bad at defense.
He's also just... Yeah, he's still not that guy to me.
No. We got a tweeted hot take because this person wouldn't bang on wax.
Hey.
At KDubs123 says, we will lose a playoff game because of Lou and Trez's defense, which is something I've said on here, that if Trez plays the stretches that he does, which might be coming to an end, that could cost us a playoff game.
Yeah, for sure.
Not as serious, because I think Doc, if he saw it happen, it might have to be a thing where Doc has to like see it happen. Because in a series, like one game, it's not going to lose us. Like when you're like, say we have like a one, we're playing, the Jazz during the regular season. That's a one-off. Fine, we can play Trez a bunch, get away with it. In the series is where it's like, man, we got to do this four times in a row.
Yeah,
because we're sweeping every game. Is what I'm assuming.
I guess my counterpoint would just be like, I agree. In a playoff series, could definitely drop you a game. But it's not like it's not winning you any games.
Yeah, definitely. You mean the defense specifically?
Yeah. The defense specifically. No, but I mean like...
But they could also win us a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's the same thing that we had with Gallo last year. Gallo had a rough playoff, so everyone was like, why was he even in there? And I was like, dude, we needed him to get there, so we're going to put him in because that was one of the big reasons we got there.
Yeah.
But we do need to break up some of those fourth quarter minutes. Let's hope that continues.
Definitely. And I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, it's definitely true. The possibility of like their defense is definitely there to lose us a game, but what these guys do on the other end, it's just...
It's all about Doc managing it.
It's valuable enough. Yeah, it's valuable enough to have gotten us this far, in the regular season. So
it's in Doc's hands now. Do you have any other hot takes off the top of your head?
I think that Marcus Morris should switch to a shorter short. I think we'll give him a little more mobility. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Let us know what you guys think about Morris's short.
Especially
situation.
On defense, you know, like Pat Bev hikes the shorts up. I'm saying you're
cutting out that step.
You're conserving
this
energy.
This is life hack.
You're cut conserving your energy. Shorter shorts. You don't have to pull them up. You can get in that defensive stance. You're expending less effort.
I don't know why you're yelling at me about it.
That's 25% extra effort saved.
I don't know if it's 25% extra effort. Let us know about your guys'
every
thoughts.
Defensive possession, a hike up?
On Morris's short situation, if they should be shorter. Let us know if you have any hot takes about anything Clippers related. You can leave them at 213-986-7354. Coming up after this, we got a Jerome Robinson update and just some general shavings. Hey, hey.
Rome!
Jerome Robinson had a game winner against the Nets. Former Clipper lottery pick Jerome Robinson showed his draft stock and just hit a dagger for the Wiz. Then he got the game ceiling rebound the next possession. Man. What do you think he's doing tonight?
It was in there, just waiting to come out. Wait, was this a home game?
Couldn't tell you. If I'm being totally honest. Happy my son got the win. I'm a very absentee like relative in this situation.
Either way, I hope he goes to Chinatown. DC. Great Chinatown.
Oh, really?
Very solid food. Yeah.
Nice.
So I hope he does that, and then maybe he enjoys the nightlife. Maybe he doesn't, though.
Good to see him flourishing.
I
hope he continues to build on this. He had a tough go in it. Shout out to the Wizards for having faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
For definitely. Giving him some playtime. Jerome Island now, of course, located in the DC River.
It's in the DMV for sure.
Yeah. Okay. It's somewhere. It's maybe okay. Yeah, and then
it's just floated away. It's like
yeah.
It's one of those islands that was like they paid a lot of money for like the millionaires or whatever, and then it floated away.
Exactly.
But it's now doing better. It's in a better climate. Things are flourishing.
Less attention to it.
Things are flourishing.
Less spotlight. Yeah. Now we're just kind of talking. I just had this fan base thought pop in my head because I spend much too much time on Twitter. With how much people have freaked out over the regular season, which is a fair amount, is the fanboys going to survive the playoffs?
Yes.
I think they will, too.
I think that we're going to see...
These last couple games, I think, have calmed people, myself included, down a little bit, but for some aspects.
Definitely. I mean, I think that we're going to see... We're going to see the typical kind of stuff that we see after every loss, a little bit magnified in the playoffs. But I think for every loss, I mean, aren't the wins even greater?
Yeah.
Like, aren't the wins even bigger than any regular season win? Because I feel like so many of these times, like, I mean, there's like a game like tonight where, we watch the team every game, and even, we're saying like, oh, it's a pretty solid win. Like, it's fine. But like that win in the playoffs is like,
for sure. Yeah, the 10 point. Yeah. I think what gets me, what I think about too, is I want to try and just every game, because you have to just try and put every other playoffs out of your head.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to try and act as not level-headed. I don't know what the word is. Focused, calm. Calm's not the word. As possible during those games, because it's just going to be like, oh, man, I can't even. I might not even go on Twitter during the games.
I don't know. My thing is going to be that, like, the DNA of this Clippers team is just so fundamentally different from anything that we've ever seen this team take to the playoffs before.
For sure.
It's not comparable, you know? Like, it just truly isn't. It's not like we're a team like, say, Houston, who even has gone through some pretty big changes, right?
Yeah, they play
but
micro
more or less, now. Like, the core of what that team is the same. Or the Trailblazers, like, the core of that team is, like, the same as what it was. Like, this is...
I think the Rockets are the core, not even the same similar. In terms of friendship. Because those two guys, because Harden and Westbrook are just friends.
Yeah.
So I think that's fair. But yeah, like, and we have someone who, we have
but
two
I mean,
guys.
Like, the identity of, saying, the identity of what those teams do, what makes those teams successful.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same. You change some pieces.
Yeah,
around.
Ours is now like smothering defense, which last year and everything like that wasn't exactly. I mean, it was a good defense, but like not what it is now.
Yeah.
I'm excited. The fan base is also only going to get bigger during the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Fan base is getting bigger now. The support at Staples has been phenomenal.
I can't wait for that playoff atmosphere.
I can't. I'll tell you one thing. The game on Friday is going to be sick.
Oh, the
game on Friday is a DTLAC. Wow. You know who's performing at halftime? Too Short.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Too Short.
Wow.
That's not a scoop. Also, I'm pretty sure they already announced it. If they didn't, hey, sorry about that.
I just didn't realize. I'm psyched.
Yeah. Too Short's going to be performing. So that's a win, I feel like. I feel like we can already record the post-game pod. Clippers got the big win.
We'll just do that right now. Save ourselves some time.
Yeah, Too Short dunked. No, it's going to be a good time. Anything else in the shavings?
No, I don't think so. I'm just feeling relieved, like feeling good after tonight's performance. I think that we can hopefully lay some of our concerns to rest, and just, you know, bow our heads to the mighty injury bug or whatever. It
I think
is
it's
that
a
you
bug.
Do.
I like that. don't give it the honor of being the injury god. It's a bug.
It's a bug.
This feels like right now. I remember right before. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about, it feels like in the movie where things start to shake and like something crazy is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong about that. It felt like that a couple weeks ago, but then that completely fizzled out because of a couple injuries. But now it feels like that again. It feels like that groundswell is happening. That about wraps it up for this Thursday episode of Locked On Clippers. Friday's episode, we're going to have a preview of the very important game against the Nuggets.
Oh, man.
The aforementioned Too Short game, as it will forever be known as. A look ahead to Sunday's matchup with the short-handed, seemingly 76ers.
A lot to kind of try
and figure out there.
Yeah.
Still a good team. And then we're going to have a vacation-themed Love, Marry, Kill. Maybe vacation and corporate restructuring-themed Love, Marry, Kill, given the state of this podcast. You guys, thank you so much for listening. You can find us on iTunes, Google Casts,
Spotify,
Deezer.
Stitcher, I think.
Stitcher. We're definitely actually on Stitcher. Please review us on Stitcher. I think we only have like one. If you review us, we'll read it.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes, whatever. Please subscribe, all that good stuff. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.